Okay, adequate notice of the meeting to be held by the Township of Ojai Board of Education on Tuesday, April 19th, 2016, at 8 o'clock, which is now, has been provided in accordance with the requirements of Chapter 231, Public Law 1975. Notice of the meeting was posted on the bulletin board in the lobby of the Administration Building, 163 Monmouth Road, Oakhurst, New Jersey, all Ocean Township District Schools and Transportation, and the school district website on January 7th, 2016. Notice the meeting was transmitted to the Asbury Park Press on January 7, 2016, and to the Coastal Newspaper on January 7, 2016. Notice the meeting was filed with the municipal clerk, Township of Ocean, and his clerk, Village Lock Arbor, on January 7, 2016. Mr. General, please call the roll.
Mr. Clayton. Mr. Dietrich.
Here.
Mr. Marshall.
Here.
Mrs. McGovern.
Here.
Mr. Moore.
Here.
Mr. Paloudis.
Here.
Mr. Parlamas.
Here.
Ms. Sylvia?
Here.
And Mr. Haddon?
Here.
We have 8 members present. We have a quorum.
Okay, we're going to start the meeting off by referring to our student representatives, Ms. Hannah Rose, Mr. David Wall.
So right now in the high school, we have a blood drive being held next Wednesday from the New York Blood Drive Center, so we're encouraging students to donate blood. Also, the Ocean Township High School Mr. Spartan Show is coming up this Thursday, April 21st. The junior prom is May 14th, and they're asking for donations, and the senior prom is on June 2nd. Prog testing is coming up next month from May 17th to the 24th. The Character Club is also setting up a beach sweep on April 30th, and Ocean GSA is doing a walk for AIDS on May 1st.
Our baseball team improved their record to 10-2 with a win today at Carteret. Their next game is at RBR tomorrow. The softball's record is 6-3-1. Their next game is tomorrow at RBR as well. The boys lacrosse team won today 12-9 at RBR to improve their record to 8-0. Their next game is at SJB on Friday. Girls lacrosse won today at Long Ridge 15-5. They have a 4-game winning streak. They're 6-2. Their next game is tomorrow night home against Freehold. Boys tennis had a match today at RBR, which they lost 4-1, which was their first loss of the season. Their record is 7-1. And both boys and girls track is 1-0. Their next meet is at Wall on April 8th.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hannah, do you know what the junior class is asking for? They need cash or stuff?
They need like supplies and everything. There's supposed to be supplies.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now the superintendent's report, Dr. Stefankowitz.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hatton. So, this evening, we have a number of students to be honored this evening. And, first, we have our student from Ocean Township Elementary School, from Ocean Township Elementary School. And we have the folks from Sodexo, or is Jeff here from Sodexo?
Maybe on the parking lot?
I don't know. But, there he is. Hello, Jeff.
Sure, hi.
Hello.
All right, so each year, as many of you may know, these folks from Sodexo, who are our food service provider, they have a contest. It's the Future Chefs competition. And this year was the theme was breakfast.
Healthy breakfast, right.
Healthy breakfast, excuse me. So healthy breakfast. And, you know, last year when I was invited to this to be a judge, I didn't realize what it was. And so I ate and didn't come prepared to have to taste about 13 different wonderful selections. This year I learned and came very hungry, which was a good thing. And so we got to taste all the different food selections. And if I'm not mistaken, please correct me, Jeff, if I'm wrong, but we have some of
yes.
the winning
Recipes
here, heated, ready to go.
We have enough for everyone.
Not a large crowd.
Right.
Might be a little short. So.
Okay. We'll see what we can do about that. But yellow eggs and ham was the winner. And let me try to describe this, if I may. So we have the shell is Canadian bacon or like a bacon?
A ham.
Or a ham.
As we call it, ham, keeping it healthy.
As we call in America, ham, right? And so you put it in the I guess like a
muffin tin.
Thank you for finishing my sentences.
Yeah,
you can tell I'm not a chef in any way. You can tell that. So you lay that in there, and then you put the egg concoction, like a scrambled bake of some kind, right?
Yes.
And you put it in there and you bake it, and it creates something that you just want to have a lot of, right? So with that, though, you have some special presentation, and Adriana Billows. Adriana, are you here? Yes, you are. There you are. For you, but also the folks from Sodexo have a special. Yeah, can you head over to this way? And the folks from Sodexo have a special announcement.
As you know, we submitted your recipe, and you came in first in our area. We submitted your recipe up to the national level or to the regional level. You were selected to now move on to the top 40. And a whole bunch of other things, and we will now know by Friday if you made it into the top 5 nationally.
And that was number 40 out of how many?
40 out of well over 1,500 recipes that were submitted.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Start that iPad.
Self-serve over there?
Yeah, self-serve.
It's heated?
Yep, it's all ready to go.
Anyone would like to partake? By all means.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, we have a couple more students. This every year, our students take part primarily at our intermediate school through the teachers there in the Asbury Park Wall Elks Lodge number 128 writing contest. And the essay topic this year was, what can I do to promote Americanism and love of country, which is a tremendous topic, a very important one. So we have a number of winners. So I'm going to read, I'm going to announce their names. And if you could come up when I announce your name, and then we'll look to do a group shot. I think we have some certificates for these individuals as well. So I'll start from fifth grade, Antonio Bonneau. Antonio? And Antonio is in Mrs. Belez's class. Next up is Abigail Meberg. Abigail, are you here? Abigail is in Ms. Shapiro's class. Neve Sickles. And Neve is in Mrs. Perkins' class. Now we move to sixth grade. Both these recipients are in Mr. Ryan's social studies class. So that's Noah Gutman. And also Garrett Lafler. Thought I saw Mrs. Lafler. Maybe not. Okay. Was here. Okay. But we clap anyway. All right. Seventh grade, Mrs. Musselman. We have Meg Patel. All right. Some of these folks, I think, from eighth grade. We're not going to be able to make it tonight, but we're going to certainly announce them and honor them just the same. In eighth grade, this is Mrs. Willems' class, we have Cole Kelly. I'm not sure if Cole's here. From Ms. Butler's class, we have Angela Salamene. And last but not least, from Mrs. DeVito's class, and I think she is here, Olivia Wilson. Student honoree, I have to say, is actually very special for me because I've known this young man probably from about the day he was born, and his sister, who probably we should be honoring for something. I have to tell you, these two young people are the epitome of, I think, you know, as the rest of the kids here tonight, they're the kids you want to have if you're parents, right? They're unbelievable. And what's more amazing about Sam Prudhomme and about what he wrote, he was a student voice winner, second place winner in the March student voice competition, the Asbury Park Press. And the topic of his essay was, what memory, the question was, what memory would you keep if you knew all memories but one would be wiped out? And I'm sorry, I apologize if I get a little emotional about this because I know so well. This family. The title of Sam's paper was Feeling the Spirit of My Loyal Dog. And I have to say, Josie, their dog, I knew before I knew Sam. And my dog at the time, Crimpet was his name, was fast friends with Josie. And they used to communicate and frolic all the time. And it always used to be awesome to see Sam and Meredith walking Josie. But unfortunately, Josie is at the Great Kettle in the Sky, and I can tell you that our neighborhood has not been the same since then. And when I read your essay, Sam, I swear I couldn't keep it together. So congratulations to you, and thank you for such amazing tribute to your dog, and it says everything it needs to say about you as an individual. So congratulations, Sam Prudhomme. And Sam is a Boy Scout. Yes. I bought many popcorn tins for him. Congratulations. Okay, a couple other quick things. If you notice around tonight's room, you notice that perhaps something is different. It is not usually this so beautifully adorned. But Eileen Glynn from the high school, her art class, she came over yesterday and posted the hung the artwork that you see, some photography, some digital art, and various other artwork around. So we thank Ms. Glynn and her students for her art and for the artwork, which we appreciate. And two other quick things. One, next week we will be having on the 27th of April, there's a program at the high school at 7 p.m. We are hosting it, but it's Senator Jennifer Beck and her, obviously her organization. We are doing a program on the heroin epidemic in Monmouth County, and we certainly invite all parents to attend, and that's not just a high school event or a middle school event. It's for all parents, including elementary school. It's never too never too early to begin being aware and having that kind of conversation, certainly amongst parents. There'll be many speakers from the prosecutor's office, Prevention First, Ocean Township Human Services. So it's going to be a very informative event. We encourage everyone to come out, and of course we'll be promoting that. So that's next Wednesday night, the 27th. And last but not least, something that we're all very excited about that was just finally confirmed today is back in January, we as a school district applied for a grant from the State Department of Education. The grant is to develop and maintain career and technical education programs in our high school. And I'm so happy to say that today we found out that we were one of only 8 recipients in the entire state. That grant over the next 5 years will bring us $500,000. Last time I checked, that's $500,000 to use to develop these programs and just create incredible learning opportunities for our students, not just at the high school, but it also is going to afford us the opportunity to create programs at the middle school that will feed these programs. So it's just a tremendous opportunity. And for those of you who don't perhaps aren't aware of what CTE and career technical ed programs, all the county vocational schools, they're all based on CTE programs. And really the future of comprehensive high school education in New Jersey is developing these programs within comprehensive high schools. So I'd like to thank everybody who was involved in that, Ms. Conrad, Ms. Weldon, for being a part of working with us on that grant, and we're just thrilled as a school district to be able to be a part of that. So thank you, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Dr. Spankwitz.
For those parents who are here who brought your children, while you're all very welcome to stay for the meeting, this might be a good time, being that it is a school night. If you choose,
get a snack
on your way out.
Give you a couple minutes. Just this.
To write the thing for the balls in. I missed the deadline for April 1st. Congratulations.
Two more up front. There you go. Good work. Okay, the following are a series of motions to be read by the committee chairpersons. All motions have been discussed at a recent public work session. Some motions have been approved at a public work session. The minutes for the approved items are on the back of the table.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, back working. You apologize. Good. Some motions have been approved at public work session, and the minutes for the approved items are on the back table. All motions are posted on the bulletin board in the rear of the auditorium, along with reference lists and attachments. At this point in the meeting, we will now conduct the first of two public comment sessions. The first session will be open for public comments on agenda items only. The second session will be at the end of the meeting and can be on any topic. What we're going to ask you to do, we are recording our meetings now so that people can listen to our meetings on our website. So if you do have a question or a comment, I'm going to ask you to step up to the podium. You'll have a nice backdrop behind you. You'll have a microphone. Each statement made by participants will be limited to 5 minutes in duration. We don't want people repeating what's already been said, so we'll cut you off if you're saying something that's already been said. You can come up and say you agree with the previous speaker, that's fine. And of course, our rules about going on too long, being abusive, or obscene. So, would anyone from the public, under those rules, like to make a comment on any agenda item at this time? I didn't scare anybody off. All right. Okay, we'll start with the presentation of bills. Mr. Moore.
Okay, thank you. I have a motion for...
Are the microphones working?
Yeah.
Very difficult to hear you.
Here, give me this.
My question,
guys,
with all the awards that you're doing, I can hear you.
Okay. Better or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Because these are a lot of numbers. But I'll make it brief. So we have a motion for the approval of the following paid items as listed. Total amount is $6,667,767.13. Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis.
Yes.
Mrs. Parlamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, co-curricular student activities. Mrs. McGovern.
I have no report tonight.
Thank you. Community liaison and communications, Mrs. Sylvia Chaffee.
Thank you. I have two items tonight. Can you hear me? Okay. Is that better? I have two items tonight. The first one is intergenerational program with students at Wanamassa Elementary School, which is really neat, so I'm going to read the whole thing. Move to approve the request of Annette Avolt, the Engaged Life Director at the Atria Senior Living in Tinton Falls, to start an intergenerational program with the students at Wanamassa Elementary School, as outlined in the attached letter dated April 6, 2016. Each teacher would create an age-appropriate activity for their students to do with residents at Atria. In addition to activities noted in the letter, activities could be expanded to include examples, reading with residents, discussion about devices they use when they're with children, etc. And I'll also move the approval of the minutes from last week's workshop meeting, April 12, 2016. So there's no discussion on that. Can I have a second?
Second.
Mr. General, would you call the roll?
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis.
Yes.
Mrs. Parlamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
Mr. Haddon.
Yes.
Okay, both motions carried.
Financial Management Resource Services, Mr. Moore.
Okay, thank you. I have 11 motions this evening. Motion one, resolution certifies that the budget balances at the end of March were adequate to pay all remaining obligations of the 15-16 school year, and that account groupings required by the state have adequate balances. The board is also certifying that the independent reports of the treasurer and the business office are in agreement. Motion two is to transfer monies from one account in the budget to another and provide the adequate balances referred to in the first motion. Three is security drill reports for March as listed. Motion four is to approve the use of facilities according to the attached list dated April 19th, 2016. There is one correction on that list on the Rainbow Foundation. The custodial reimbursement should be corrected to $640. It's currently listed as $805. Motion five is to approve a two-year shared service agreement between the Township of Ocean Board of Education and Shore Regional Board of Education to continue the co-op sports program for ice hockey for the 16-17 and 17-18 winter ice hockey seasons per attached. Motion six is to approve the two-year cooperative agreement and application to the NJSIA for the 16-17, 17-18 ice hockey seasons. Motion seven is to approve the renewal of a resolution to enter in a co-op pricing arrangement, agreement as listed. Motion 8 is to approve the donation of lacrosse equipment from Norman Gregg Sr. for the Ocean High School Girls Lacrosse Team. The lacrosse equipment has a value of approximately $250. Motion 9 is to approve the submission of the grant application for the 16 Safety Grant Program through the NJSIG subfund for identified safety and security facility upgrades in the amount of $14,205. Period is July 1, 16 through June 30th, 17. 10 is to approve an amendment to the FY16 IDEA Part B Basic grant amount is $4,997 for services to students with disabilities parentally placed in non-public schools, and an amendment to the FY16 and IDEA Part B Preschool 3, 4, and 5 grant amount is $2,233. The last motion is to approve the following resolution regarding financial advisory services as listed. Do I have a second?
Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis.
Yes.
Mrs. Parlamas.
Yes.
Mrs. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon?
Yes.
Okay, the 11 motions carry.
Okay, instruction and education, Dr. Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Haddon. We have 12 motions to bring tonight. Item number one is a motion to approve using the New Jersey Virtual School as the provider for summer school services during the summer 2016, as outlined in the attached memorandum. Item number two is a motion to approve a trip request for the AP Micro and Macroeconomics and AP Government and Politics classes at the high school, approximately 48 students, to attend the National Constitution Center in U.S. Mint in Philadelphia. This one-day trip is on June 1st and will be approximately $30 per student, paid by the students. Item number three is a motion to approve representatives from the Scholastic Action magazine to make a site visit for the period of 3 hours on May 4th, 2016 to the Township of Ocean Intermediate School. The purpose of this visit is to observe the ongoing implementation of the Scholastic Action magazine online program utilized in the communications lab. Item number four is a motion to approve a settlement agreement and release for student number 151602. Item number five is a motion to approve the 2016 summer curriculum writing in accordance with the attached memorandum. Item number six is a motion to approve the revised list of new courses to be offered to high school students for the 2016-27 school year in accordance with the attached memorandum. Item number seven is a motion to approve Lauren McEwen, junior at the College of New Jersey, to complete 25 hours of observation for speech therapy. Item number eight is a motion to approve student observers for the 2015-2016 school year in accordance with the attached memorandum. Item number nine is a motion to approve a delayed opening schedule for the New Jersey Biology Competency Test on May 25th and 26th in accordance with the attached memorandum. Item number 10 is a motion to approve the attached memorandums regarding staff professional development activities. Item number 11 is a motion to approve addendums to out-of-state district private tuition for the 2015-2016 school year. And item number 12 is a motion to approve a revision to out-of-district private tuition for the 2015-2016 school year. Can I have a second?
Second.
General? Okay. Mr. Dietrich?
Yes.
Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis?
Yes.
Ms. Parlamas?
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia?
Yes.
And Mr. Hyde?
Yes.
Okay, the 12 motions carried.
Thank you. Negotiations, Mr. Moore.
I have no report this evening.
Thank you. Personnel, Ms. Parlamas.
Yes, Mr. Haddon, I have 18 motions this evening. Do you want me to? And I promise to read them quickly. Thank you. First, I move to approve the following retirements: Michelle LeConte, District Attendance Officer, and Patricia Rose, Supervisor of Transportation. Second, I move to approve the following resignations: Erica Anderson, English teacher, Samantha Wild, Instructional Assistant. Third, I move to approve the following staff members to take a second-year maternity leave of absence for the upcoming school year: Alyssa Jezebel, science teacher, and Laura Terleski, English teacher. Four, I move to approve the salary for Christine Fogler, District Affirmative Action Officer, for the 2015-16 school year. Five, I move to approve the salaries for non-represented employees for the 2015-16 school year in accordance with the attached list. Six, move to approve not to offer a contract to Marta Felice, special education teacher. Seven, move to approve not to offer contracts to the following class size reduction teachers for the 2016-17 school year: Nicole Farina, Wayside; Nicole Ippolito, Wayside; Maureen Mahaffey, Ocean Township Elementary; and Christy Molnar, Wanamassa. Eight, I move to approve that the following employees not be offered contracts for the 2016-17 school year: Allison Schultz, English teacher; Francesco DiMicelli, math teacher; Alyssa Galasso, math teacher; and Samantha Hoffman, science teacher. Nine, I move to approve not to offer contracts due to staffing needs to the following employees for the 2016-17 school year: Nicholas Alvarez, health and PE teacher; Vincenzo Franze, health and PE teacher; Eric Galato, special ed teacher; Libby Landman, special ed teacher; and Mary Kate Shaloub, special ed teacher. 10, I move to approve the renewal of non-tenured custodians, maintenance, and grounds personnel for the fixed term of July 1st through June 30th, 2017.
11, I move to approve the teacher and administrator recommendation list for the 2016-17 school year. 12, I move to approve Christine Fogler as the district's affirmative action officer for the 2016-17 school year. 13, I move to approve salaries for the 2016-17 school year for the following groups as listed. 14, I move to approve a maternity leave of absence for the 2016-17 school year for Andrea Sorrells, guidance counselor at the high school. 15, move to approve an unpaid family leave of absence as designated under FMLA and NJFLA for a period of 6 weeks for David Cohen, assistant network manager in the technology department. 16, move to approve an unpaid family leave of absence as designated under FMLA for Michelle Morgan, computer lab assistant at the Wayside School. 17, move to approve an unpaid leave of absence for Amanda Maltese, supervisor of math and business ed. And 18, I move to approve substitute teachers for the 2015-16 school year as listed. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. General, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis.
Yes.
Mrs. Parlamas.
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Hyde.
Yes.
Okay, the 18 motions carry.
Okay, planning and construction, Mr. Paloudis.
Thank you, Mr. Haddon. I have one motion tonight, and I also have a presentation from Frank Messino from Solutions Architect to provide an update on the referendum projects. We'll start with the presentation from Frank, and then we'll move to the motion.
Microphone, please. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. You have before you a spreadsheet on the.
Get on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You have before you a spreadsheet that provides a status summary on the referendum. Just to walk down the list of projects that we have done and are doing, we'll start with the high school, the performing arts and athletic addition. The scope of work includes renovations to the auditorium, band, music room, music classrooms, and construction of a new black box theater, dance studio, gymnasium, fitness center, wrestling room, classrooms, and offices. We had four bidders for this project. The lowest responsible bidder was Benjamin Harvey, Inc. We've issued a notice to proceed to Benjamin Harvey April 2016. Construction is and mobilization is expected to begin in May of 2016. The estimated completion is on or about August of 2017. Our project budget was $10.9 million. The second piece of work at the high school was the unit ventilator upgrades, and that scope of work included the replacement of existing horizontal heating unit ventilators in each of the classroom spaces. There were five bidders for this project, and the lowest responsible bidder was Kappa Construction. You may have recognized the name. We had prior experience last year with Kappa on the UV project, so we're expecting a successful project as well this time. Notice to proceed was also given in April. We expect that they will begin their mobilization in May. Estimated completion is October of 2016, and the budget for that project is about $2.5 million. The Athletic Performance Center, there are two sections which are broken out of the main project. This is the FF&E, the furniture, fit up, and equipment. So it's any of the extra items that we intend to bid under state contract or separately. They're not part of the construction, but they will be purchased by the school district under state contracts so that we're not paying the contractors markup on those items. Those could be equipment, bleachers, mats, mat lift, lockers, loose furniture, any of those items that we don't want to pay a contractor's markup will be done separately and apart from the main contracts. The budgets for those were approximately $287,000 and $372,000 for both the Athletic Performing Center, Performance Center, and the Performing Arts Center. We moved to the Ocean Intermediate School, where the projects that we had on the docket have already been completed. The work included science lab renovations to the three pods to create nine science labs, including new partitions, doors, flooring, casework, and unit ventilators. The budget for the science labs was $1,056,000. The HVAC upgrades to the gymnasium and woodshop classrooms was also part of the scope of work. It was about $313,000, and that project is also complete. And then there was the casework component, which was purchased, again, outside of the main construction, and it was done under a state contract for about $340,000. At Ocean Township Elementary School, we completed scope of work at that facility. That includes art and music classroom renovations and unit ventilator upgrades. The art and music classroom renovation was completed with a final project cost of $74,113. The unit ventilator upgrades were completed at a budget of $1.6 million. Project that remains to be completed is the sound amplification systems at all three elementary schools. The work will be is currently being demoed and will be completed once we select the appropriate sound amplification company. Next on the list is Wanamassa. We have the gymnasium, art, music, classroom addition, and renovation. This project's scope includes renovation to the existing multi-purpose room and the construction of a new gymnasium, art room, and music classrooms, as well as renovations to the create a serving area for the cafeteria. There were eight bidders, and the lowest responsible bidder was Rampart Construction. He was given a notice to proceed April 2016. Construction mobilization is expected to begin May 2016 with an estimated completion of June of 2017. The budget for that project was $4.1 million. Along with the additions, the project that was completed is unit ventilator upgrades. That was done last year. The scope of work included the replacement of horizontal heating unit ventilators with vertical units. That project was $686,000. And then the sound amplification system, which I referred to before, still remains to be completed. At Wayside, we have a classroom addition for small group instruction classrooms. The work includes the renovation of the existing art room and creation of a servery, as well as six new small group instruction rooms. There were 13 bidders for this project. The lowest responsible bidder was GP Parlamis. Notice to proceed was issued April 2016. Construction begins May 2016 with an estimated completion in November of 2016. Project budget was $1.8 million. Unit ventilator upgrades are also bid, and we received five bidders for that project. Bassian Mechanical was the low bidder. He received a notice to proceed in April, construction to begin in May, with a project completion of October 2016. That scope of work was $1.5 million. And then finally, the sound amplification system remains to be completed. Just a point to note, collectively, all projects that we've completed to date in terms of bidding and award have fallen within the approved referendum budget. We also have an allowance remaining for contingencies for unforeseen conditions, and that puts us in a really good spot. Initially, we had a couple projects over budget, but the last few projects that we had came in under budget, which, you know, in the end balances everything out and puts us in a real good position moving forward with the largest of the projects. All contractors that are awarded the project are contractually obligated to complete the project within the dates that we submitted or we included in the bid documents and they submitted their bids on. They are subject to liquidated damages in the event that they don't hit those deadlines. So we'll be watching them very closely during construction, and hopefully we won't have any issues moving forward. But that's pretty much this complete update on where we are today.
Thank you. One motion I have to move is for professional services. Move to approve the award of a third-party professional services contract to Atlantic Engineering Laboratories. It's in reference to the referendum construction project's completion. This is third-party testing and inspection. for professional services in accordance with the public schools contracts law NJSA 18A-18A-2H. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Mr. Trannerone, please call the roll.
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mr. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis.
Yes.
Ms. Parlamis.
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon.
Yes.
Okay, the one motion carries.
Hey, technology, Mr. Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Haddon. I have one item to move for tonight. I move to approve the district's technology plan for the 2016 through 2019 school years. Per the attached copy of the technology plan and a copy of the memorandum dated March 11th, 2016, outlining the approval process guidelines. If there's no discussion, can I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Generone, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Dietrich.
Yes.
Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Mrs. McGovern.
Yes.
Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Mr. Paloudis.
Yes.
Ms. Parlamis.
Yes.
Ms. Sylvia.
Yes.
And Mr. Haddon.
Yes.
Okay, the one motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Dietrich. Okay. Is there any old business report? Any new business?
I just have one comment that I wanted to make. I just wanted to say Denise and I and some other board members had the opportunity to go over to the Dow Avenue School and check out the Makerspace program, which really made me excited about this coming to district. And I just want to thank those OTES teachers that have done it voluntarily. It's been a really awesome thing to see and kind of made us be able to want it in the budget. Have it in the budget, and it's exciting. It's coming in through the high school, but it's coming everywhere. So I just wanted to comment on those teachers.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Is there any other new business on the board? Okay. Part of the meeting where we will open up to public comment again. If you have a public comment, you need to go to the podium, you name an address. All statements are to be directed to the presiding officer. That's me, so let's chat.
Good evening. I'm Paul Fernicola. I'm the mayor of Lock Arbor. I came to your meeting last month and requested that you put me on your agenda. You declined and came, and I spoke during the public comment. And as you know, as I said last time, Lock Arbor is currently paying Ocean $126,000 per student for each of the students that we send to Ocean Township. Now, your average per pupil cost is $16,000, and we're paying $126,000. And as each of you know, we filed an application with the county in November of 2015 to leave Ocean Township because we're able to go to the West Long Branch schools at a cost of what you pay to educate your students. Exactly what Ocean Township did back in the 1960s when you felt you were paying too much to Asbury and you wanted to form your own high school. And that's what we asked you to do, exactly what you did in the 60s. And I asked you specifically not to fight with another town, not to do this to another town, and to withdraw your objection and to allow us to leave Ocean Township again, exactly what you did in the 1960s, to leave you to pay to educate your own children. We're not asking you to pay to educate our children, to pay for the Ocean Township residents. And I spoke to you about the hardship that it's imposed on the Lock Arbor residents, particularly the senior citizens. And I've come back tonight with four of them. Because since I was here in March, we received the letter from your attorney dated April 1st, as well as your consultant's fiscal impact analysis. Now, when Lock Arbor did its analysis, that we had identified that the average homeowner in Ocean would pay an additional $166 per year. $166 per year if Lock Arbor left. Now your consultant says it's $190 per year, but that they didn't take into account the savings, particularly the special education savings that Ocean would receive if Lock Arbor left Ocean. And that's the difference between the $190 and the $166, because we had estimated that the average person in Ocean would pay $180 more if the special ed wasn't taken into account. So the difference between the experts is nominal. Now, one of the things that, and you can hear it in my voice tonight, that I'm very upset with the board. One of the things in your lawyer's letter that has always been a concern for me, but is spelled out clearly, is that I am here tonight not just as your mayor, or the mayor of Lock Arbor rather, but I'm one of your constituents, and Lock Arbor is your constituents. You have, if you talk about, your lawyer talks about that you have a fiduciary responsibility to the Ocean residents. You have a fiduciary responsibility to the Lock Arbor residents. We are as much as your constituents as the 27,000 people in Ocean. The fact that Lock Arbor is 159 people doesn't change the fact that you have a fiduciary responsibility. That is established because you are our elected officials. Your business administrator doesn't have that same responsibility. His concern is business, hence his title, and his concern is what Lock Arbor is paying, the $2,061,000, and that's where you get the $126,000. So your letter from your attorney speaks about this fiduciary duty that the board has, doesn't address or recognize, and this has always been my concern, that you don't recognize that you have a fiduciary duty to Lock Arbor residents. And you speak about that if Lock Arbor withdraws, it confers no advantage to Ocean Township. Respectfully, and I'm sorry with my tone tonight, but it is upsetting for me, that you have an obligation to balance the equities, the vote on your conscience. Again, you have to take into account the hardship to your constituents, which is also the Lock Arbor residents. And that's why I brought them out with me tonight. The other thing, and I'm sorry to use this word, and I'm sorry if I offend you, but I find your report, not you personally, but your report galling. It's galling that your fiscal impact report says that your residents, $190, that you have a sizable contingent, you say 20% of your population is over 62 and on fixed incomes. Well, Lock Arbor has many people. You say that the $190 to your residents is a financial hardship if their taxes increase by the $190. How about the hardship to the Lock Arbor residents who pay $14,000 per household just on the school taxes to Ocean alone? Now, I've come back tonight, and I'm going to ask you specifically. Your next meeting, as I understand it, is May 17th. I'm here tonight. I have a package for you. It is the affidavits that we've submitted from six senior citizens from Lock Arbor to the county, as well as our fiscal analysis. I have a package for each of you. I'm requesting that tonight, that one of you make a motion to place, all the motion I'm asking you is that you place as an agenda item on your next meeting of May 17th to withdraw your opposition to Lock Arbor reading. Now, one of our residents, before I give you the package, I just want to read a couple because
so,
one,
sorry, can withdraw, I missed
withdraw what, your opposition
to
Lock Arbor leaving the Ocean Township school
okay,
system.
Okay.
That's what I requested.
I just didn't hear what you said. Okay.
Right, Mr. Moore.
Okay.
And I'm not asking you to vote on that tonight. I'm just asking you to make a motion to place it, to take a vote, to place it on your agenda for your May 17th meeting. Now, you're going to hear from the Lock Arbor residents. One of them, who's 80 years old, she is here tonight. She asked me to read her affidavit.
I'm limiting everybody 5 minutes. We've got a large
crowd. I'll be quick. I'm an elected official.
One more minute.
Okay. So let me just read quick. Here are two residents that I sent to you the last time. They bought their home in Lock Arbor in 1965. Their taxes prior to 2008 were $9,900. They then went up to $23,600. Okay, so this is what they said after owning their house from 1965. Because I'm retired and on a fixed income, the shocking tax increase made life difficult. I had a great difficulty paying bills and maintaining my lifestyle. The toll from the high property taxes eventually became so great that we were forced to sell our home of 50 years because simply could no longer afford to devote such a large portion of our disposable income solely to pay property taxes. But for the extraordinary increases in our school taxes, my wife and I would still reside in Lock Arbor. That's from Frank and Joanne Romandelli. And then Miss Baldwin, if I can.
Mayor, I got to cut you off.
Okay, this is real quick. I am an
elected official.
Okay, I'll be quick. Mrs. Baldwin, her and her husband bought their home in Lock Arbor in 1965. They raised their three children in that home who all went to the Ocean schools. In 2008, their taxes were $10,491. They then went to $22,034. That's an $11,543 increase. And it goes on, she goes on to address, I understand Ocean has recently submitted an analysis that the increase of $190 from the loss of the Lock Arbor taxes would be a hardship on the senior citizens. how you made no effort to reconcile the minimum impact of $190 with the substantial and onerous financial burden on the Lock Harbor residents, particularly the citizens. Thank you for giving me that
question. Can I just ask one question, one quick one?
Yeah, sure.
Can you tell us what the value of those two homes were and when they were sold?
I don't know what the value of the homes are, but as you know, the $126,000 per student is because
you want to make a comment, you got to go up.
Okay. You don't know. Right. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Last time I took a look at the tax records, the tax rate for Lock Harbor was less than the tax rate in Ocean Township. So the average taxpayer in Ocean Township is paying more per assessed value of their home than a resident in Lock Harbor. I'm a senior citizen. I would love not to pay Board of Education taxes. This is New Jersey. It's not New York. We each have to pay our fair share. And if my research is correct, the school tax rate that the average resident in Lock Harbor pays is less than what the average resident in Ocean Township pays. That's a good deal for the Lock Harbor residents. The one thing that continually bothers me is that the mayor talks about the residents in Lock Harbor that are paying $30,000 a year in taxes. And he's right. They are paying $30,000 in taxes. But those homes that have payments of $30,000 or more have a property tax assessment of approximately $1.8 million. The average assessment in Lock Harbor for the 150 properties in Lock Harbor is $1,010,000. In Ocean Township, it's close to $470,000, and that includes all the commercial property on 66 and 35. I would imagine if we took it out, that number would substantially drop below $400,000. I looked at the tax records for one of the residents, one of the long-term residents in Ocean Township, in Lock Harbor, who's paying more than $30,000 in taxes. What did I find? I found they bought their house in 1992 for $168,000. Today, that property has a valuation of $1.3 million. There are residents in Ocean Township who cannot afford the taxes in Ocean Township. And unfortunately, taxes are taxes. Reminds me of an individual who complains he's paying too much in income taxes. Well, if you don't want to pay the income taxes, don't earn as much, and you'll be fine. If you don't want to pay the taxes in Lock Harbor, you do indeed have a choice. You can either pay the taxes, or you can sell your house, pay the capital gains on your house, and locate to another location. Nobody likes to move from where they've grown up, where they've raised their family, but the reality of life is that sometimes happens, and the valuations in Lock Harbor are not our making. It's location, location, location. I see no reason to allow them, out of the contracted $2.1 million, which they are obligated to pay us, and an obligation that was forced upon Ocean Township by the state of New Jersey. Hold your ground.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Michael Riley, 700 Carroll Avenue. I am also the president of Ocean Township Education Association. Just want to read a brief statement. Charlotte Danielson states that professional learning can only occur in an atmosphere of trust. However, when staff members do not feel that our administration can be trusted to make the right decisions regarding bereavement, personal business, or sick days, or when these decisions are questioned, abridged, or denied, these actions cultivate an atmosphere of disappointment, anxiety, and resentment. Let us be clear, our expressed concerns are not complaints. We are professionals who expect basic human dignities that we grant to our students and to others daily. We have deep concerns about the educational direction our district is taking, along with the methods used to reach these goals. We wish to be heard and respected. When we mourn a loss, we want to mourn, not be worried about whether our contract will define our grief. When we use a personal day, we request the entire day, not one which is subject to the superintendent's decision to grant only a half day. When we are in the hospital with a child, our worry and focus should be on our family, not on whether a doctor's note is mandated by the superintendent. In short, we wish to be treated with compassion because we are professionals who bring that same level of understanding to our students. TOEA expressed these staff concerns in a private meeting with board members. Their response was our concerns were based on technicalities, which involved no contract violations. It was suggested I reach out to our superintendent, Dr. Stefankowitz, to resolve any issues that have arisen. This advice is both dismissive and patronizing. Its implied message is as long as the contract is followed to the letter, nothing is amiss, so stop complaining. Ironically, TOEA members break the contract regularly to the benefit of our students and community. For example, we volunteer for events with no expectation of additional compensation. We attend events because we know our students enjoy our support. We arrive early and stay late, well beyond our contracted hours, to help students achieve success. We spend our own money on supplies for our classrooms and our students so they lack for nothing. We spend hours and hours of our personal time in the evenings and on weekends, perfecting lessons, grading papers, updating technology skills, and developing new strategies for success. We do these things and more without complaint or expectation of compensation. We do these things without compensation because we know it's right. But at this point, we feel our efforts are unvalued and unappreciated. An improved relationship between the TOEA and the superintendent is our goal. In the past, our staff has enjoyed a collegial partnership, and our fervent hope is that the Ocean Board of Ed and the superintendent can restore this working partnership. In the end, our common goal is improved morale and a respectful work atmosphere, which in turn will ensure the success for all Ocean students. If the sole focus is to honor a contract verbatim, then TOEA will follow the contract as well. In the past, we have always adhered to our contract and have gone beyond in all areas. While it might be technically accurate to be stringent followers of a signed agreement, it does not create the kind of atmosphere conducive to the compassionate, caring Ocean school system, which defines us and sets us apart from other districts. Thanks very much.
My husband, Gerald Camber, was born and raised in Asbury Park, New Jersey in 1946, his parents bought a home in Lock Arbor. In 1979, my husband retired from his teaching career of 30 years and returned to Lock Arbor, his hometown, and bought the house I live in now for $69,000. Gerald loved the Jersey Shore, not only because it was where he was born and raised, but because he had lifelong friends from his elementary school and high school days here still, and he felt a strong sense of belonging. His father owned and operated a men's clothing store in Asbury Park for 58 years called Bob and Irving, which was an icon of the area. Gerald was also a proud Marine and served in World War II with honor. But the truth is that this country, or specifically this state, and you in Ocean Township, let him down. My husband received an inheritance from his mother when she died at the age of 102 in 1999, which afforded us the opportunity to renovate our 100-year-old home. Because our home needed this renovation, we undertook a full renovation which required nearly the full sum of the inheritance. This area was becoming more desirable, making us feel that investing in our home was a secure investment and would also increase its value. This plan totally fell through, but through no fault of our own. In 2009, when ex-Governor Corzine rescinded the special school funding bill, as a result, my property taxes, which were then about $6,800 per year, jumped to about $24,000 per year. My husband and I could in no way afford such a huge hike in our property taxes, since we both lived on Social Security and a small teacher's pension that my husband received. Because my husband was over 65 years old when the tax increase occurred, the only way we were able to stay in our home was due to the senior citizen property tax freeze. We lived with the immense fear that if Gerald, my husband, were to pass away, I would then be left with this incredible tax burden because I was not yet 65 years old when this increase occurred. So we tried to no avail to sell our home from then. One could only go a couple of blocks away and find a similar home for a quarter of our property taxes. And of course, this was 100% due to our school tax. In my mind, it was this stress that added to my husband's declining health, eventually leading to his death a year and a half ago. As far as my health, since this tax hike, I have been diagnosed with high blood pressure as well as an ulcer. Time will only tell if my health will continue to decline as a result of the stress that I'm living with. I have still not been able to find a buyer for my beautiful home. My only source of income is Social Security. Because of my poverty status, I receive food stamps and government help to purchase my prescription drugs. If I don't sell my house, I will be left with nothing, and I will live the rest of my life in dire poverty. We, the homeowners in Lock Arbor, pay approximately $169,000 per pupil per year, and you in Ocean Township pay an average of $12,000 per pupil per year. How can that seem equitable? I've heard you believe that we're all rich in Lock Arbor, and I hope that I have dispelled this myth. Homes are for sale everywhere you look in Lock Arbor, and this is undoubtedly due to the unaffordable taxes for all of the families who have lived here for many decades. Please understand that people's lives and their financial security is at stake. And that man who spoke before me and said that you're concerned about your $188 increase. Well, this is a $16,000 increase. Please, what is $188 in this day and age? I ask you. I know of homeowners in Lock Arbor who have already lost their homes as a result of this tax increase. How many more should have to continue to suffer? There is no way to justify those figures. I leave you with my plea to allow my tiny village of Lock Arbor to leave your school district because it is the only decent thing to do. We should not have the financial burden to subsidize your own school district, which based on our share of the school taxes, certainly seems that is what we are doing. Thank you.
Luke Parisi, 8 Evergreen Place, Lock Arbor. We bought our home 46 years ago, raised 6 children there. Most of them went to Ocean Township High School. I own a 95-year-old house, 40 by 100, this undersized house, 95 years old, and as Tony has said, it constantly needs repair. My school tax is almost $13,000 for this undersized home. Over $7,000 of that goes to the school tax. Now, I understand, gentlemen and gentlewomen, that you have a fiduciary responsibility to all of your constituents. I'd like you to appreciate the fact that, as our mayor has so clearly and eloquently stated, we have to look to you also to take care of us. And I know it's a shared responsibility, and I know that you're looking for equity and justice. And I think that all of us, I'm sure that my fellow neighbors in Lock Harbor and Ocean Township also want equity and justice. And I think that really, if you examine all of the facts, I think that clearly it should be evident to all of you that something ought to be done. And since you are the people that certainly should lead in that change and that correction, we ask you, I'm going to be, you know, the suggestion was made, well, why don't you sell? We've been there for 46 years. I'm going to be 90 years old in a few weeks. My wife is 86, and those of you that have accumulated the goods and property in a home know what we can accumulate in 46 years. To leave that home now and to think of packing and moving out, what we're looking forward to, we like to stay there as long as we can before we have to retire to a nursing home. I go to the gym twice a week. I try to delay that inevitability as long as I can, but you can help me delay that even a little longer if you just give me a break. Relieve me of that $7,000 school tax if you can, so that we can stay and perhaps enjoy it. And frankly, I'm probably financially in a little better shape than some of the others. I'm a wounded veteran, and therefore the veterans compensation, and I'm grateful for it, has helped me to compensate for some of that $7,000, but I was hoping that I could use some of that for myself, my own care, and for my future, and if there's anything left over for the heirs that I have. I thank you very much for your attention, and I know that I have your sympathy, and I know that your conscience will dictate to you what really you should do for us and for all of your constituents. And for that gentleman that spoke in front of us, certainly I understand your ardor, and I understand the emotion that you have, and I don't have any doubt that you feel very strongly, and I wish I had that eloquence so that I can show that same zeal for my cause. Thank you very much.
I am Batia Van Ostrand. I live on Garden Ave in Wanamassa. And I have two things to say, but I will speak very, very quickly. Number one, I bought my house in 2008 in Wanamassa for $465,000. And now it is worth well under $400,000. My husband paid $150,000 to go to law school, which we will be paying off for the rest of our lives. And I'm grown out of my house, and I can't move because I can't sell my house because it's worth so much less than when I bought it. So while I certainly understand, you know, the added burden of a tax increase, it's a little difficult when you're talking about houses that are now worth so much money. That's that. I would like to say I'm not really 100% clued in on what the statement was from Mr. Riley. I would like to say, as a PTA, I'm the PTA president of Wanamassa. As a PTA president, just as a parent, I have one child in the intermediate school, I have a child at Wanamassa, and then I have a little one. I've had the opportunity to work with Dr. Stefankowitz in varying roles. As a PTA president, he meets with us once a month, usually. It's a great time, we meet upstairs, and I mean, this is the first superintendent that I've worked with in this capacity. I'm excited about everything that he says. I love the innovation. I love the new direction. I love, you know, the new reading program. I love that we're looking at things like why, when you see, you know, I was on the equity, the comprehensive equity plan. Why are there so few minority students in a top level class? All of these things, I think, I think that there are issues that need to be addressed. And I don't think it means that anyone, I can't say, I have had the most wonderful teachers in Wanamassa, in the intermediate school. One was nicer than the next. They're lovely people. And I also think that it's wonderful to have someone maybe come into the district with a fresh pair of eyes who isn't, you know, who's from somewhere else, who has new ideas. And I am certainly excited that you're here, and I look forward to what, you know, the direction you're taking the district.
Don't provide something. Whoever gets here first.
I think you beat her.
Yeah, really.
My name is Lori Ann Walgren. I reside in Wall Township and I teach at the Wanamassa School. I'm also co-vice president of our education association. I'm here tonight to share my concern for the direction in which it appears our district is headed. Having taught in Ocean Township for 19 years, I've seen some ups and downs, but the dips in morale generally occurred during those times we were working without a contract. Such is not the case now. We do have a contract, but we also have plummeting morale. I believe it is due in part to the change from the family-first mentality of previous administrations. Although our association certainly faced challenges and changes with past superintendents, one thing remained constant. When the superintendents welcomed us back to school, they encouraged us to take care of our families and ourselves because, they said, family comes first. They knew that an employee who is physically and emotionally healthy would do a much better job than one who is physically and emotionally drained. Because we work with children, our demeanor and stamina matter. Our feelings matter. And when we felt that our administration and board valued and respected us as people, rather than just seeing us as employees, it helped us work through the other issues. Over the past 2 years, some decisions have been made which leave staff wondering and worrying about what to do in the event of a family crisis. One can be sick with a bacterial or viral infection, but one can also be sick with fear and worry when a loved one is very ill or hospitalized. One can be sick with grief when a loved one is dying or has passed. And if one or more of us is denied the use of a sick day or a bereavement day, that decision affects all of us. Each member of this association can put themselves in the shoes of a worried parent, a grieving child, or a heartbroken spouse. There, but for the grace of God, goes any one of us. It makes us feel real fear about what we should do if we are in that dark place. Our contract language gives the superintendent the discretion to act with empathy when any of our colleagues is suffering in the darkest moments of life. And this empathy is what we wish for. If this were all, it would be enough to make staff feel demoralized. Unfortunately, there is more. Dr. Stefankowitz explained in detail at a recent board meeting that each day lost to snow is a day that taxpayers lose the services of contracted employees. He said that over the past 13 years, the district lost around 30 days, and I don't have that exact number, but as I recall, it was somewhere around 30. Many of us were concerned that the message from our administration and board was that our taxpayers had not gotten their money's worth from us. We wondered if the superintendent, the Board of Education, and the taxpayers are aware of how many of us go into the schools over the summer to make our classrooms warm and welcoming for your children. Have you ever walked into a school building in July? It is a barren, institutional place. Not the kind of atmosphere you see when you walk into that same building on the first day of September. Teachers cannot wave magic wands, nor can we call upon education elves to make our classrooms and hallways beautiful. We must do that work on our own time. And did you ever wonder how we managed to get our paperwork completed, emails answered, lessons prepped, papers graded, supplies purchased, and bulletin boards changed, all while teaching during the course of a typical day? The answer is we don't. We spend a lot of our own time on those tasks. Many staff members give far more than one period of extra help each week to their students. Some attend their students' sporting events, plays, award ceremonies, all because we love war kids. Everyone in our district kept track of his or her extra hours over the course of a full year, you would see that we really are quite a bargain. You get far more than your money's worth from us. And we do it because that is who we are. We strive to do our best for your children because your families matter to us. It may be tempting for some of you to shake your heads, roll your eyes, and dismiss us as whiny teachers who want the world to be a warm and fuzzy place. But it is a mistake to underestimate the power of emotion and the power of compassion. When you sent your children to school on their first day, what did you wish for them? If you offered up a little prayer, did you ask that they get a teacher who was a strict rule follower, who would efficiently impart all information in the approved curriculum, adhere to the exact minutes of instructional time as required by the district, and hold every child to the same standards and requirements? Did you hope against hope that your child's teacher would be an automaton, or did you wish with all your heart for a teacher who would love your child? Did you and do you now want teachers who will listen to your children's stories, who care if your kids are sad because their pet died and cut them some slack that day? Who worry if they seem chronically tired or stressed? Do you want your children's teachers to take advantage of those unexpected teachable moments that offer opportunities for joyful learning and can ignite a sense of wonder, even if it strays from written lesson plans?
Time is falling, you're at 6 minutes already.
Do you hope that teachers will help mediate friendship issues, offer a shoulder to cry on, and encourage children to try their best at every age and in every endeavor, whether or not school related? Do you pray that some teacher will appreciate your kid's quirky sense of humor and make accommodations for your child's idiosyncrasies? Or do you believe that the only thing that matters is that teachers follow the contract and follow the rules? And I am almost done. The adage, it takes a village to raise a child, is not a cliche, it is the truth. Every one of us is an essential part of that village. Education works best when the administration, Board of Education, and staff work together in a positive and respectful way. We have a symbiotic relationship. You need us, and we need you. We provide compassionate dedication to your children's physical, emotional, social, and educational needs. We need you to acknowledge and respect our efforts and our humanity. We need you to remember that families come first and feelings really do matter. Thank you for your time, even though it's over 6 minutes, and your attention.
I'm going to change the direction somewhat of what we've been hearing so far, but just to residents from Lock Harbor, I was also in war. I'm a veteran. It was called Korea. Okay? I also own a home here in Ocean Township. Bought the home about 10 years ago. The value has gone down, the taxes has gone up.
Sorry, Marwin, can you address the board, please?
Yes. To the board.
Thank you.
You know, when I was on a board, I had one issue that I kept bringing up. And then when I left the board, I still was bringing up that issue. And I'm glad that the board has taken some action on getting the proceedings of the general meeting out to the public. And I congratulate you on that. And as one of the people in the audience said before, you need more microphones. And that's what I also mentioned that last week at the workshop. But again, I want to thank you, not only on behalf of myself, but on behalf of the community, for listening to what the community says. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment?
They're coming.
There's no other public comment. Anybody who spoke earlier can speak again. Paul?
Hello, Mayor Witts. No statements, just a couple questions. My understanding that Judge Wolfson's ruling only applied to the Board of Adjustment. Why did this Board of Education impose a 5-minute time limit at this meeting, since there's never been a time limit to the best of my knowledge?
Wow. It is our policy. Typically, we get 3 people speaking, and given the crowd and the number of people I anticipated speaking, I enforced the 5-minute rule. And I was a little liberal with a couple of folks, as you saw. So it is part of board policy, just that typically we get 1 or 2 people who come up and speak, like yourself, and larger meetings like this, we have to go with that policy.
Coming up to speed is important, so you know what the residents are talking about if they have a question. I'm concerned that when I came down to this room from the workshop, there was no documentation available. I've requested a few times that the documentation for the workshops and for the Board of Education meetings be posted on the website prior to the meeting so that we can read them. The board receives them prior to the meeting, the residents should receive it. I had a question on the presentation of certificates. I was standing in the back and I asked the person next to me, gee, wouldn't the kids get more pleasure if these certificates were presented in front of their peers rather than a bunch of whatever we want to call you? I'm curious. Why don't we do it at a school auditorium meeting rather than at a Board of Ed meeting?
We could absolutely do that.
I know it's a great way to get parents to come to a Board of Ed meeting. That's for sure.
Lots of times, though, Paul, like when we did our GOB and those kids, they are recognized at the school level as well. It's just another reason for us to show the public what exciting things are happening in the district. So a lot of the time, most of the time, nearly every time, they do get a certificate at school as well.
Okay, thank you. Professional service contracts. I've noted both at council meetings and Board of Ed meetings that when we normally present when the Board of the Council approves a professional service contract, they approve the contract and it's issued. What I find sometimes missing from both those types of meetings is why did we choose that particular professional and what other professionals were considered for the position? We approved the AEL contract tonight. The package, at least the one I saw upstairs, showed who the bidders were, okay? But in other cases, we don't show who the other bidders were, what their cost proposals were, and more importantly, we need to understand why the board chose that particular professional. So that I hope with professional service contracts coming up for review the next fiscal year, that we
take the time to explain to the public why we're approving a particular vendor for a particular contract. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
I don't know how that can be resolved because if you change the law, you know, in other words, you have a law, state law.
We're not having a conversation here. You're addressing the Board of
Education. Everybody's going to be taxed on the basis of property assessment.
But they're so, not.
Ladies, we're not having, we're not having a conversation here. We're talking to the board.
You have to take it to the state, or you have to find an address some way, because that is a state
We
law.
Did, and you
have folks, come on, we're not doing this.
And the other thing I'm curious about, what is the problem with the teachers? I mean, what specifically are they... have a grudge about because we're demoralized. No, I mean, was it? Did you take something away specifically that they had? It's not coming up here. You know, I mean, we have to ask that discussion.
Well, you can. Yeah, you know, after the meeting, you've got a few teachers here that you could talk to if you wanted to, and the head of their union is here.
A change has been made, right? Some changes have been made that they're complaining. Okay.
So, right, if you want to find out exactly what they're talking about, you can...
Right. I'd like to report. This is what happened.
Sure.
But I can't tell what happened or what I heard so far.
Anybody else from the public have a comment? Okay. Do you have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Have a second.
Second.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful evening.
So you have an easy meeting tonight, huh?
All right, phones are coming. Get quotes on.
It wasn't easy.
They
grab a couple.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
How hard is it for me to be quiet about it?